Thanks for staying, for those who stayed. I'd like to share a verse with you, and that's what you see behind you on the screen in Genesis 3:15, and I was just finishing in my personal studies the Gospel of John, and it was on my mind, what is next? What should I be studying? I was praying about it, and I was lately freshly fascinated by the promises that we have in the scriptures and how they point to Christ. So I'd like to take just one, and it's the first that we find in the scriptures. Let's read that one, and I'd like to together trace it throughout the Bible and see its fulfillment. Let's read in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, to put that into context, this is right after the fall. Adam had rebelled. Eve was deceived by the serpent, by Satan. And so God pronounced judgment for their rebellion. And so when it came to the serpent that deceived Eve, this is a short section of the judgment. But not only is it here a judgment, it is also a promise that the serpent and the enemy would be defeated one day. So early on, this is what Adam and Eve had already, knowing, yes, we have terribly failed, we have fallen, we have sinned, but they had already something from God to hold on to, a promise that there will be a redeemer, there will be one day when this enmity that has come in because of their sin, because of their rebellion, that this enmity would be brought to an end. And we're going to look at a few phrases and words in this verse and work our way through. Next, what I had here. It disappeared. So there was actually a timeline here. That's fine. So what I was fascinated also in just looking up how it chronologically lined up. So creation was about 4,000 BC, so 6,000 years ago. When this event happened, when the fall happened, and what the beautiful thing, what God has done is also, he gave that promise, but then there was also a progressive revelation throughout the scriptures that added more to what the promise would look like. So we read, for example, that it would be enmity between the woman and the serpent, but not only between them, but their offspring. And for example, we get the promise in Isaiah. Yes, it's from a woman, her offspring, and then it's closer, narrowed in, it would be even a virgin birth. And further down, and which is, it speaks about the bruising, or a better word for it is the crushing of the head of the serpent. That would also be that's what we see on the cross. But the bruising we see already prophesied in Isaiah, that the heel would be bruised, so the servant would be, Jesus Christ would be suffering, the victory through suffering. So to narrow in, so 4000 BC, creation, the fall, we have, we'd like to, and it's not a complete list, we have a couple promises, 700 BC through Isaiah, and then we see the fulfillment through the birth of Christ, 4 AD, and then the death of Christ shortly later. So that's beautiful. We can look back in history and we see these events unfold. Now to the offspring of the woman. And the question is, who is the offspring? Because we see here offspring of the woman, offspring of the serpent, and the offspring would point to Christ, but then also those who are in Christ, or those who would live by faith and love the truth. And we have examples of in the scriptures of Abel and of Seth and Noah. All those people, they were not the promise. They were not the promise, but they had their hope also in the promise, in the Redeemer. They lived by faith. Then we have also the offspring of the serpent. That would be, it's not like a biological offspring, but it's a spiritual offspring that they would align and belong to Satan. Those were, for example, Cain, who murdered Abel. And then we read about Nimrod building Babel in defiance of God. We read about Pharaoh enslaving Israel, Herod wanting to kill Jesus. So the offspring of the serpent, so those are, so to speak, there's his spiritual children that align with rebellion against God. Now, throughout history, we see that, and even today, there's only these two lines. Either we belong to the line that is in Christ, that has put their faith into Christ, or we're still on a deceptive way, belonging to Satan. And the beautiful is here to see that the promise is there for each one of us to trust the Lord Jesus and to be in Christ by taking what Christ has done for us, by accepting the promise for us. Now, for the progression in Isaiah 7:14, we read there, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." There we have 700 BC, confirmation. It would be through a virgin birth, and not a natural conception, but a miracle, supernatural. That's how the Savior, the Redeemer, promised would come to earth, would be a person, seed of the woman. And we read also about the other promise in Isaiah 53. "He was bruised for our iniquity." There it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." It's beautiful to see in Isaiah how this fits in, but and also how accurate it is, and how accurate it explains what Jesus endured when he was here, when the seed of the woman endured, when he was on earth. He was pierced for our transgressions, for the sins, for our rebellion. And the chastisement brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Beautiful promises explaining further the promise that was given at the very beginning. It explains more about who that seed of the woman was, his identity, and it would also tell us what he would come for, his mission. Then next to the promise fulfilled, and we read one of the writers of the New Testament quoting Isaiah, specifically saying that this was fulfilled in Matthew 1:22-23. It says there, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That was tied directly back also to her offspring. And then we read about the crushing of the serpent's head. Virgin birth, crushing of the serpent's head. It says in John 12:31-33. No, and Jesus himself says that just before the Passion narrative. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So this speaks here of Jesus saying that just before he would be lifted up and nailed to the cross and suffer, he explains what this crushing would be like. All the power would be taken from Satan over sin and death. And in John, describes it in John 19:17-18 further. And he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Here again, we read the record where it says clearly that Jesus was bruised. Jesus was wounded. He was wounded, but then with his suffering, he defeated. He brought a blowing defeat to Satan by crushing his head, taking the power over death. What I find also beautiful is the double fulfillment of it. So it's fulfilled. Satan's power has been taken away. But there's also a final crushing when Satan or the serpent will be thrown in the lake of fire. So from that, we can take courage, and we know that Christ has the victory. We belong to him. And his victory is also ours because we are in him. So we can take courage that even in a world where we see so much evil, that this will be all put to an end soon. And so we all go through difficulties, through trials. And I hope that the promise that we read of in Genesis can be a promise for us that we take personally, knowing that the power of Satan has been taken on the cross. It's just a matter of time till Satan is completely thrown in the lake of fire. Until then, trust in the Lord, keep looking to Him, and victory is ours.